This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you're ready for some football, then this show and this week is right for you. We got two games coming up tomorrow as we close out the final week of the preseason in the NFL. It's also week zero of college football. Could not ask for anything better. Welcome in to this Wednesday edition of the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. I'm Stormy Bonantoni, back in the saddle alongside my guy, former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. What is going on? So great to see you, Michael.
Yeah, it is so good to have you back, Stormy. You know, Femi and Ben Wilson filled in perfectly, but it's really good to have you back. I can't wait to hear about the wedding. I want to hear about the speeches. I want to hear about the honeymoon and all that. I mean, I'm sure you had a wonderful time. It looked like it. I know Stephanie mentioned to us all, and Ben Wilson said it was great. So we're happy to have you back, really. We missed you tremendously. We missed you, and it'll be good to have the football season as we get going on this year.
Yes, sir. No question. So happy to be back. And to your point, really, really grateful to Femi and Ben and the whole crew for holding it down in my absence. But I am a married woman now. So I'm so excited. It was a great couple of weeks, although I'm still thinking some tropical thoughts, Michael. So bear with me if I'm a little bit slow today getting back reacclimated to things. But my parents largely took your advice, I would say, when it came to when they stepped into your office and you said, hey, get it together, people. The speeches were great. Yeah. The honeymoon was great. We were out on the island of Oahu. Unfortunately, obviously, with everything going on in Maui, where our original destination was, we couldn't go. Heartbroken for that community. But look at this. Yeah, we got in the helicopter. That was probably the coolest thing we did.
As Parcells would say, it'd take a lot of that to kill you. Like, that's pretty good. That's pretty special. You got to love that. I mean, now you're ready for the season. Now you're ready for your travel. I mean, you're ready to go. You've got all that relaxation behind you. Look at this. Oh, that's so awesome. This is great.
I'll never be this tan again in my life, Michael, so just be prepared for that. But no, that photo of me and Chris, that was at the luau. We did some kayaking and swam with some sea turtles nearby, so it was really wonderful. But
that's awesome.
Glad to be back here. Yeah, we were up close and personal. But it was.
Did you touch them, or are they?
No.
Snap you?
It's like a massive.
Oh, look at this! Oh wow, look at this! This is awesome. Yeah. How good was that? How good was that Porky Pig there? How good was that one?
I knew that would be your favorite photo from the bunch, especially with how much you're out there grilling the tomahawk steaks in the backyard.
I can't do the. I got to get one of those where you do it. My guy over in that country I can't pronounce, who I watch on YouTube, has got 5 million followers. He has one of those rotisserie ones. I got to figure that one out. That's going to be hard. I don't have enough room, and Millie will never allow me to get any more room out there. So I don't think I'm going to get that. But how good was that?
It was awesome. The skin was great. The luau, we had like the fire dancing performances and stuff. It was just overall like a really, really good time. So I appreciate asking. I'm laughing though, because I totally knew that the luau pig was going to be your favorite picture. But believe it or not, Michael, we actually do have some more important things to discuss. We got to get into football talk, and I'm so excited to be back doing like a normal routine once again.
I know you were checking everything out. I mean, you just didn't completely just get away.
It's impossible to. But I tried to make sure that I was present, you know, and enjoying the sunrises and sunsets and all of the things. But I still was very keenly aware of everything that happened with Jonathan Taylor over this past week. I know. So after all of the talk and Jim Irsay saying, not now, not in October, are we going to trade this guy? He does open up the availability for Jonathan Taylor to be able to be traded. And while, I'm sure plenty of teams could use the 2021 NFL leading rusher, somebody willing to pay that and make the trade compensation is going to be a little bit of a different story. I know you and Femi yesterday went over some of the odds for the, if not Indy, where will Jonathan Taylor's next team be market? Miami, the favorite, +250, Bears 4-1, Ravens 7-1, then the Broncos and Cowboys there at +750. And we had the Dallas Cowboys owner, Jerry Jones, making some comments when he was asked about whether or not their team might have interest in grabbing JT. And he said, I look at every opportunity, but the way our young backs are playing, I'm very comfortable with where our backs are at right now. I feel good about the running back position if we don't add anybody. So how would you evaluate the Cowboys running back room right now? And do you think it would make sense to bring in a guy like JT?
No, I really don't. I mean, they're already going to pay Pollard $10 million. How much money are you going to put in running backs? I mean, I think it's really ridiculous that they would even be one of the teams that could use this. I know they need a big back. I thought Rico Dowdle has played really good this summer. He's a college free agent. He's played well. Look, Deuce Vaughn is sensational. I mean, he's done everything that we thought Deuce Vaughn can do. Even though he's short, he runs with power. He's got great instincts for the position. You know, he's got the ability to burst and accelerate. Like, I think they're running back. Malik Davis has run the ball really well, too. So I don't see them making a move. I think running back, when I watch them, I was concerned. You know, when you go into watching preseason games, there's always a little bit of a checklist. Okay, I need to check on this about their team because I don't like it on the depth chart. And the reason you don't like it on the depth chart is you've never seen the players play. It isn't because you think they need it. You just, there's a concern, right? I've never seen Dowdle play in this situation, or Malik Davis or Deuce Vaughn. I saw them in college, but you got to translate it. But watching the Cowboys this summer, I've been really impressed with their running room. I think they run hard, and I think they're fine there. And especially when Pollard is their guy, they'll be really good. So that makes no sense. Miami, you know, to me, everybody, Miami was supposed to be in on Dalvin Cook, and they never did. I mean, Dalvin Cook went for $7 million with no guarantees because of maybe he's got something off the field that's going to create a situation. I can't see Miami going down this road. Christian Wilkins is kind of like holding in, if you will. They've got to save money for the next season if Tua stays healthy, what they do with his contract. So, like, I would think it's overkill to sign, you know, to make a trade and have to give it up. We're going to talk about in the next hour. But to me, I think there's a reason why they've announced to the agent, you go see if you can make a deal. Because I think they want the agent to hear what they've been telling him from someone else, right? They've been saying, look, here's the, there's no market. Why don't you listen to it for a change?
It feels, granted, a different situation, but it feels a little bit reminiscent to earlier this offseason when we're having the conversation about Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. Yeah. Give him the opportunity to go test the market, see what else is out there, see what teams are willing to offer you. But more than likely, we're probably going to be the best option for you. And that's what I think, all is said and done. I think week one, Jonathan Taylor is going to be an Indianapolis Colt. That's just the way that I see this playing out. To your point about Miami and them being the favorite in this market, they felt that Dalvin Cook or adding another top-tier running back to that room would be a luxury spend. And that's a team that, to my chagrin and how much I want Mike McDaniel to run the football, they're not really a team that has shown that they do that to this point either.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of different factors that are playing into this, obviously. And I like what you said about the Dallas situation in general, because I love Deuce Vaughn, obviously the sixth round pick coming out of Kansas State. He's a really, really exciting, dynamic player. He's had a good relationship with Darren Sproles, who he obviously has a similar body type to, and I think could make a real splash as a great number two to Tony Pollard.
I do too. And I know he's little and everybody's concerned about that, but Darren Sproles was sensational when he played. You know, he didn't play small. There's one thing about being little and playing small. Vaughn doesn't play small. He can break tackles, but he also has got great lateral quickness. He can make a shifty cut and he can burst and accelerate. I think he's a great change of pace to Pollard. I really do. And so, you know, I know they got him in the sixth round, and you know, sometimes, I mean, look, some of these guys, they go later in the draft because of size. I mean, Sproles was the all-time leading rusher in Kansas high school football history. Think about that, right? And that John Riggins played at the state of Kansas. So this is a kid who did it all the time, and he was very good at doing it. And yet he went in the fourth round because he was tiny. But he doesn't play tiny. And I think that's the same thing with Vaughn. I think the Cowboys, that room's going to be fine. I think their offensive line, now that Zach Martin's back, should be better. They need Steele to stay healthy. They need Smith at left tackle to stay healthy. And then they can get going. So, look, I've been impressed with their defense this summer. But I think offensively it's got to come together. And it should in week one when they get everybody on the field.
Yep, and we'll further this conversation a little bit more in hour two. But while the Colts are at least letting their star running back test the market, the Las Vegas Raiders have no interest in doing so, evidently, for Josh Jacobs as he continues his holdout from the team. According to NFL Network's Tom Pelissero, quote, no deal is imminent to get Jacobs into camp and his status for week one is still up in the air, which is pretty contrast to the reports that we saw previously that the team did expect him to report before week one. How do you think things shake out with Josh Jacobs?
Well, I think Josh Jacobs will play. I think he'll come in, and I think it's always been the case that the Raiders have had no interest in trying to trade him. They realize he's their best player. Look, remember, he was sitting in the parking lot in Max Crosby's car, or maybe his car, and thought he was that close to getting a deal done. I fully expect him to get something done before the start of the season. And, you know, and as this Raider team has kind of improved in their offensive line, especially with the inside positions, you know, where they've been able to play with more physicality, I think it's only going to help Josh Jacobs. This Raider offense has a chance when Jacobs comes back to be really good. I thought Garoppolo in his first work against the Rams. Now, look, the Rams are not a talented defensive team, whether they start their ones or their twos, because most of all their players are really like twos on other teams, except for the great Aaron Donald. I think they move, you know, Garoppolo looked in rhythm, and I think that'll continue on. And of course, Aiden O'Connell has looked really good. So if they get Jacobs back, this offense should be very good. They run the ball effectively, and their line's playing better. I fully expect it to happen.
Yeah, Jacobs, of course, led the league in rushing yards a year ago with over 1,600, more than 2,000 yards from scrimmage and 12 touchdowns. He could do what Saquon Barkley did, potential, and have an agreement on a renegotiated one-year deal, or of course, sign that franchise tender and get the $10.1 million in 2023. We're just getting started here on the Lombardi Line, but still so much more to come. There is another holdout we need to discuss in the AFC West with Chris Jones for the Kansas City Chiefs. We also have a number of injury updates to get you guys the lowdown on for this preseason right now. Commanders fans maybe breathe a little sigh of relief when it comes to Terry McLaurin. We'll be right back on the Lombardi Line. Don't go anywhere. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM is all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and more. You can download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with state-issued ID to open up an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Welcome back to the Lombardi Line. Alongside Michael Lombardi, I'm Stormy Bonantoni. In about 30 minutes, Jerry Dulac, Steelers reporter for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, is going to join the program, get the lowdown on all things Steelers and the division. Speaking of, we'll have some division odds movement across the NFL we'll get into over the next 2 hours. Do Michael and I agree or not with the way some of these numbers have taken a turn? And why not Wednesday at the end of the show? Because every now and then you see a number out there that seems a little outlandish, but makes you say, hey, why not? So we'll get into that in a little bit as well. But Michael, where we're going to start off this next segment is just kind of continuing the holdout conversation after we finished discussing Jonathan Taylor and Josh Jacobs. Also, Chris Jones in Kansas City, a new little wrinkle evidently in his holdout from Chiefs camp, where he was asked how long he might be willing to hold out. And he said week 8, Michael. Getting a little cheeky on social media, or you think that's legit?
No, well, I think the reason he said week 8, because that gets him an accrued season. I mean, there's a specific reason for it, right? So if he comes in and he doesn't get an accrued season, he doesn't get that vested to his free agency. So I think that's why he specifically said that. Look, they need him. He's their best player, other than Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. They're not like the Rams. They have much better depth than the Rams, but they have elite talent. And he's part of that elite talent with 15 and a half sacks and 48 quarterback hits last season. He was dominant. They're going to need him back in there. And when you watch them this summer, you know, they're not quite to where they were offensively last year, nor were they defensively. And we know Andy's trying to get it going. The first two drives against the Arizona Cardinals, they struggled. The Cardinals played very, very fast, physical. By the third drive, Mahomes got him right down the field and scored. So I think this is a work in progress. But defensively, they typically start slow under Steve Spagnuolo. He's a complex defensive scheme. He relies on a lot of blitzes. And if you understand what he's trying to do, you can find some voids in his coverages. And I ultimately think that without Chris Jones inside, that becomes an easier team to throw the football on.
They certainly do need him. And speaking of Spagnuolo, he had some comments on the Chiefs' YouTube about their star defensive player.
I don't think Chris is any different than any other player that misses the entire camp and then has to play. It's tough. I mean, you certainly can't expect that particular person, as good as Chris is, to play every down. And then you worry about injury. Is the body ready? Now, Chris always keeps himself in good shape. But football shape's different. So hopefully we can get him back, right? And then when that happens, we just have to figure out how to go about it.
Because he's like any other player, and then the fingers crossed, though. But hope we get him back.
Right. And he's right. Look, I think one of the things that we have to handicap in opening weekend is the conditioning of the team, you know, because all these games are going to come down to the fourth quarter. Most of them will. All these games will come down to the last 8 minutes and who's fresh and who's not fresh. What defensive fronts are really in good shape that can continue to pressure the passer? We know Nick Bosa, who's holding out as well, stays in good shape. Steve just said Chris Jones stays in good shape, but that good shape doesn't translate to 80 plays on defense. That good shape translates to about 35, as you got to constantly bring them back in, because what happens if you rush them, then all of a sudden, what have we seen a lot this summer? Calf injuries. If you rush a player and all of a sudden he pulls a calf, now you're in a lot of trouble. So I think you have to keep that in mind, and I think that's one of the things that as we handicap week one, especially with the heat and humidity. Week one's a harder weekend weather-wise than week 17, 18, when we're all talking about the cold and the snow, right? That you can deal with the cold and the snow. It's the heat and humidity that zaps your body. And if you don't have a lot of depth on your team, or if you don't have a way to keep your players fresh for the fourth quarter, it zaps you.
Week one for the Kansas City Chiefs, of course, at home against the Detroit Lions on Thursday Night Football. That number now just 6.5 for Kansas City. Chris Jones losing $50,000 a day that he is not out there. The game checks, obviously, would be significant, would lose up to $7.5 million if he did actually hold out through week eight, but says he can afford it on social media. So at least we've got there.
I don't know who can afford to lose. I don't even think Jeff Bezos can afford to lose seven, because if you made that much money, you protect it. The one thing I've known about working for owners in the NFL, there's a reason they have a lot of money, is because they protect the money, right? They don't just give it away. They're not Robin Hood out there just throwing it around. And so, you know, that mentality, it sounds good, but I don't know who can afford to lose that.
A couple of preseason injury updates I want to make sure that the people are keyed in on here. Michael, we'll just kind of go through these one by one real quickly. But like I mentioned before the break, Commanders fans can probably breathe a little bit of a sigh of relief after knowing that their star wide receiver, Terry McLaurin, had to leave that preseason game on Monday. He's been diagnosed with a toe sprain. MRI came back with no serious damage and all reports showing optimism. He'll be good to go week one against the Cardinals.
Well, let's hope it's not a turf toe, because the problem with turf toes are if you have to inject them and get him ready to play, which you can play on them, but the effects of playing on them creates more problems down the road. So, you know, when I first saw it, it looks like turf toe. It may be. And hopefully it's not that bad where they were just with rest, they can get them back, because that's a key injury for a wide receiver. You got to push off your lower body, and turf toes are just nagging.
Yeah.
You know, they just, you never seem to get over them. And unfortunately for them, look, I like Washington's team. I think Sam Howell's going to be good. I think Sam Howell's got a chance to be good. I'm not saying he's going to be elite, but he's going to be better than Carson Wentz. And I think he's going to be better than Taylor Heineke were last year for the Washington football team. I mean, I went back yesterday after our show, I rewatched that Washington game against Philadelphia, and look, Washington made a lot of plays. McLaurin beat Slay down the field for a big gain. Their offense matches up against Philly's defense. They ran the ball. It wasn't spectacular, but they pushed the line back, and their defense played really well. And if they get any kind of consistent quarterbacking play, you know, at 6.5 win total, they should go over that. And, of course, you've got to factor in Rivera and what he's going to do with the team. That's always a concern. But we know this about Rivera. He has a good season every now and then. He's had three over his 11 years as a head coach. Maybe he's due.
Yeah, and a lot of pressure on him to have that season this year. Again, that win total, to your point, 6.5. They are a 6-point favorite in that week one opener against the Arizona Cardinals at home. Also, Panthers running back Miles Sanders, he returned to practice in full pads on Monday, followed up that practice by telling reporters he, quote, absolutely will be ready for their September 10th opener against the Falcons.
Well, they're going to need him. I mean, what they're going to need is a better team. I'm writing stuff for Bill AD, and we're going to add on to our NFL guide at the end of the month here, and just kind of encapsulating what's happened with these teams as we move forward. And, you know, look, let's face it. I think if there's one guy who everybody who plays the Survivor contest hates, it's Frank Wright. I mean, Frank Wright's pictures on everybody's wall. He's a 7-point favorite 3 years ago, 2020, and he loses down in Jacksonville as a road favorite. He's 7-point. Then last year, he's a 7-point favorite and gets a tie against Houston. You know, even the game that he loses to Seattle opening day, they're a 3-point home favorite against Seattle, and he lost that game. Now, I'm not saying survivors would have taken that game, but we know Frank Wright's teams are not good opening day. And Miles Sanders getting back will help. But what I've seen so far from the Panthers in their offensive front and their lack of continuity offensively is somewhat concerning. Now, I'm not going to push the panic button, but I am going to be concerned because the team they're going to play, the Atlanta Falcons, are very good opening day. Arthur Smith's opening days, his team executes very well. Last year, they ran for 201 yards against a good New Orleans Saints team. They threw for 202 yards against a good New Orleans Saints team in the opener. They lost. They had the lead, but their defense fell apart. So this game for me, because of Carolina's inconsistencies so far in camp, is a stay away. When originally I was thinking, okay, this might be a game to play, but I don't think so any longer.
Yeah, Falcons a 3-point favorite in that week one opener at home against Carolina. Frank Reich didn't rule Sanders out, by the way, for Friday's preseason game just yet. So we'll see if he ends up playing or
he's
not.
He's
going to
play
his
guys.
Yeah, it
I
looks
think he's
like
going to play his guys.
I know Bryce Young certainly is going to. He said that, but Miles Sanders was kind of TBD coming off of the little injury there. Also, I know you and Femi talked about Jaxon Smith-Njigba yesterday. Pete Carroll said that he's going to have surgery for that slight fracture on his wrist, could miss 3 to 4 weeks. And Dolphins head coach Mike McDaniel said Mike White's in concussion protocol. Thought this was interesting that members of the Dolphins staff noticed some irregularities from him after the last preseason game against the Texans, prompting them to look further into the situation. Like, they are very high level on concussions in that team now after last year.
Yeah, but they're not high level in protecting their quarterback. That's the thing. I mean, how many quarterbacks are they going to get hurt down there, right? You know, I know Tua hasn't gotten hurt, but there's a history of their – I mean, they went through – I mean, Teddy – we forget – not only did Tua get hurt, Teddy Bridgewater was hurt last year, right? I mean, Skylar Thompson came in and have to play in that playoff game, and he still wouldn't run the ball on that. It's interesting. I don't know why anybody thinks they're going to give up a bunch of assets for Jonathan Taylor when the coach won't call any run plays.
Yeah, that's two teams in a row that we've discussed that's having troubles with that offensive line play here already in the preseason. We got to take a quick break. When we come back, the first division today we're going to look at in right move or wrong move. It's the NFC South next.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's football season, and bettors know that this is when the money is made. Nobody knows football like VSiN, and now's the time to become a VSiN subscriber. Get our comprehensive college and NFL guides. Only VSiN subscribers get all the tools to prep for the college and pro football seasons. Our experts provide profiles of every team with advanced stats and power ratings, plus best bets on season win totals, division finishes, and player awards. You can sign up today for $199, where you'll receive both guides and full VSiN access all the way from now through the Super Bowl, or you can join us on a monthly basis, $19 for your first month, and see everything VSiN has to up your betting game. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe for all your options and become part of the Sports Betting Network. Now, full disclosure, I did jump the gun a little bit before the commercial break. We'll have right move or wrong move in about 15 minutes, but it's my first day back, Michael, okay? These things happen.
Yeah, we all make mistakes. It's all good. We're in rhythm. Don't worry. It's all good. It's all good. We're going to get to it eventually, right? I mean, that's the key. We're going to get to it eventually.
Exactly. And one thing I will say, I think is the right move is always backing a head coach in Mike Tomlin. So I am excited to talk a little bit of some Pittsburgh Steelers here as Jerry Dulac joins the program, Steelers reporter for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, host as well on the Steelers radio network at Jerry Dulac on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it. But it's Jerry with a G. Remember that. Welcome in. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, Stormy, Mike, thank you for having me, and good to be with you.
Yes, we certainly appreciate it. And I want to get started off here on a recent article that you had with the 10 things that you learned at Steelers training camp. And while we won't get into the entire list, I love that number one on it was that this is Kenny Pickett's team as he enters season two as the starting quarterback for this Pittsburgh Steelers team. What are your expectations for the young QB?
Well, first of all, it became very obvious the difference this training camp from last training camp. Of course, he was a rookie. Of course, he was involved in a training camp quarterback competition. And you know, where maybe you're being a little bit more protective. You're monitoring every throw, every snap. That wasn't the case this year. You could just see from the beginning of OTAs, he's taken every snap. He's taken every walkthrough snap. He's taken every first team snap. He's taken every preseason game snap, of course, with the first unit, and it's his football team. And he's very, what you notice though, is he's very comfortable in that leadership role, if you will. He's more vocal. The players will tell you, they'll tell you he's more vocal in the meetings. By that, I mean, he's not afraid to tell Matt Canada, the offensive coordinator, or the quarterback's coach, Mike Sullivan, hey, I don't like that play. You know, I'm not crazy about that one. I'm more comfortable doing this, or I like that one. And he's not afraid to do it. And that's the biggest. You notice outwardly the how comfortable and calm he is in his role, and when you talk to the other players, just how he is in the huddle and in those meeting rooms. Obviously, completely different guy, and understandably so. And that's why I say it is his. When I say it's his football team, it is his offense. That is for sure.
You know, Jerry, after they got killed by Philadelphia 35-13, they had their bye week, and then they came back. And I don't think it's being talked about enough about how good the second half of the season the Steelers played defensively. You know, they gave up a ton of points against the Bengals, but really, for the most part, the second half of the season, their defense gave up the 16 points or under when you add it all together. And then they only turned the ball over five times. Pickett protected the ball really well. The game they lost against Baltimore, they turned it over three times. When Trubisky came in, he had the two red zone interceptions. But to me, I think this team was really playing well at the end of the year last year. And now, as they've added a lot of new pieces, they're playing, I think they have a chance to play even better. And defensively, talk about the additions Highsmith has made and what Alandon Roberts and Holcomb bring to the defense.
Well, Mike, you either have a great memory or great research, but you're right about that. And I think the biggest thing that is talked about in the second half of last year, of course, the 7-2 record, Kenny Pickett, a rookie quarterback, after throwing seven picks in his first five games, throws one in his last eight. That's pretty impressive for a rookie quarterback. You talked about protecting the ball. And of course, those two final minute touchdown drives to win the games against the Raiders and the Ravens. But the biggest key to the defense last year, after ranking last in the league in run defense, that was their entire focus going into 2022. You know, Mike Tomlin said he expected the defense to be dominant and great, which I think was just a little bit of hyperbole, but all the players will tell you, well, they'll never be that until they stop the run. And they moved all the way up. I think they ended up being ninth or 10th in the league. And that was a big step forward for them. But they were stingy with the points. And the other thing they did, even though they allowed some big pass plays, and that was one of the things they had to focus on, they picked the ball 20 times, which tied for the league lead. And that is something they don't typically do. So that defense took big steps. And now you look at what they did in the offseason, you know, completely revamping that inside linebacker position, bringing in Alandon Roberts, bringing in Cole Holcomb, who they think is a three-down player. You know, adding Quan Alexander. Now, when a guy's been with four different teams in 4 years, I'm always a little suspect. But so far, what I've seen, and more importantly, what they've seen, is a very active, aggressive player who they think can kind of work into a little bit of a rotation with or behind the other two guys. And so they have three young guys on that defensive line. They added Keanu Benton, who they really like, their second-round pick. Isaiah Loudermilk looks like he's ready to become the player they thought he would evolve into last year. And DeMarvin Leal is a very athletic, very multi-position player. So it's the first time since Mike Tomlin's been coach that they have three young players like that on the defensive line. So I don't think there's any question they have improved their defense. Do I think they're an elite top five defense? No, and that's still to be proven, but we'll see. But I do think they are actually better than they were last year.
See if they can continue to evolve, and it certainly helps having your star on that side of the ball, TJ Watt, coming back healthy. One thing I can't help but notice when I look at this team is kind of the division as a whole and how tough and competitive it seems to be, but that every team in the division seems to have taken steps in a positive direction this year. Where do you think the Steelers stack up?
Yeah, Stormy, you're right about that. And, you know, I'm always amazed. I see it a lot nationally, of course, when people want to pick the Steelers fourth in the division. I just don't see that. First of all, the Cleveland Browns, Mike, I don't mean to throw a little water on this because you were part of that for a while, but they haven't finished with a better record than the Steelers in 34 years. Think about that, 34 years. They haven't finished with a better record than the Steelers. So I'm not about to sit here and say the Browns are going to finish ahead of the Steelers, but you're right. They have a night. They built their roster. So with the Ravens. We'll see if Lamar Jackson can stay healthy. We know that's the key to that football team. But, you know, last year, I think Vegas had the over-under on the Steelers wins at 7.5. And I thought that was a sucker bet because I thought they would win 9, and they did. Well, this year it's 8.5, and I think that's another sucker bet because I definitely think they are one game better. And so I got them at 10-7 with a little luck. A little luck in the ball bouncing the right way, maybe even, and staying away from injuries, of course, 11-6. Now, do I think they're a Super Bowl team? No. But do I think they're a playoff team? Yes.
Yeah, and Jerry, I couldn't agree more with you. You know, and I think when you add the element of Tomlin's ability to get his team better as the year goes on, I think you can't minimize that. And one thing I've known, I mean, I think I was on the Browns organization the last time we had a better record than the Steelers that 34 years ago, is the mental toughness of this Pittsburgh Steelers team. I mean, it has been a tradition unlike any other. They are mentally tough, and I think that's why they win those close games.
Yeah, I'm with you, Mike. And, you know, I see a lot of that in that Ravens organization, too. I think they're, you know, the Ravens to me, are, I've always said, are maybe the most resilient team in the league. And they remind me a lot of those past Steeler teams, something that maybe been lacking the last couple of years. But when you, I mean, when you think how difficult it is to never have had a losing season since you've been the coach in 2007, I mean, you have to give him his props for being able to do that. Look at the start they had last year, 2-6, and they turn it around and finish 7-2. And his ability to keep his team focused and moving in the right direction is his greatest quality. And that's why you never count them out ever again. Do I think they're a Super Bowl contending team? I do not. But they are a team on the rise, and as they were in the second half of last year. And I definitely think they've taken a big step forward.
Well, and that's why the last couple of years, when you have that season win total with, on the surface, lower expectations, the over feels like a good thought process because you can always rely on Mike Tomlin. How many times in a week, though, do you hear Mike Tomlin's never had a losing season? How many times do you have to hear that, Jerry?
Stormy, too many times for my taste, but that's okay. Everybody likes to bring it up, and I give him his props. I mean, look, he's going to be a Hall of Fame coach. What is he, 16th all time in victories? And when the time comes, he'll be in the Hall of Fame.
What's your favorite Mike Tomlin quote?
You know, Mike, it's funny you asked that because somebody about a month ago, we were going over that, and that there are so many of them. You know, he even had one the other day when he was talking about he wants his players not to sit there and wait for something good to happen. He wants them to make it happen, and he said, we're not rabbit's foot type of people. Now, have you ever heard somebody say that? But it's just those are the kinds of things he says that I like.
Thanks,
we're
Jerry.
Up against
Thank
it. Thanks,
you.
Jerry.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Turn a loss into a win with BetMGM, the official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. Place a same-game parlay wager with at least four legs on any MLB game. If all the legs of the parlay hit but one, you'll get your stake back in bonus bets up to $25. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to please play responsibly. BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 and up only to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. U.S. promotional offers not available in Kansas, Mississippi, D.C., Nevada, New York, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in select states. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY in New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel, this offer not available to Puerto Rico residents. We're rolling along here on a Wednesday edition of the Lombardi Line alongside Michael Lombardi. I'm Stormy Bonantoni, and I told you we'd get to it eventually. It's time for Right Move or Wrong Move. Looking at some of the odds movement and adjustments from the opener in the NFC South. And this is a division that, especially at the top, we've seen some significant shifts here with the Saints bringing in Derek Carr. They go from a 2-1 favorite to plus 130, highest ticket and handle percentage on the New Orleans Saints. And then the Atlanta Falcons getting a lot of love for the way that they have invested in that offense from plus 350 to plus 210. They are the biggest liability in the NFC South, Michael.
Yeah, they're the hardest team to figure out, right? Because, you know, when you watch them so far in the preseason, you know they have a lot of weapons offensively. And then, as I said earlier in the show, they're well coached offensively. They can run the ball. That's what they lived off of last year, their run game. And we just don't know if Desmond Ridder is going to be able to execute to the level that he's going to need to. He's very conservative with the football. He doesn't trust his accuracy at times. And he does the smart thing, which is protect the ball. But you're going to have to let it go. You're going to have to make some plays. And I think that's going to be a concern. But we know they're going to be a run team. You know, with Huntley running the ball, they've got Robinson. People think he's going to be rookie of the year. You know, I was talking to a former defensive coach in the league yesterday. Like, there's no chance that anybody thinks Kyle Pitts is a tight end. He's a big receiver to go along with Drake London and all the other receivers they have. They're good. They have great skill. And this offensive line's been fully vested. But when you watch the game, you know, when you watch Trevor Siemian of the Cincinnati Bengals take the ball down the field on their first team defense, you have to say, wait a minute, have they improved defensively? Yeah. Four defensive starters over 30 years old. That's what worries me. It's not how they'll start in September. Is can they stay healthy and be able to play defense well in November and December? I'm questioning that. I'm not sure.
Yeah, so I think with that pressure on both sides of the ball for the Atlanta Falcons, because you have the young quarterback, to your point, in Desmond Ridder, who has a lot of weapons at his disposal. Can he take advantage of them? And then defensively, this is a team, like, I just want to know if they can get to the quarterback, because each of the last 2 years, dead last ranking in the NFL in pressure rate, had 21 sacks last year, just 18 the year prior. And I know they go out and they make a lot of additions on that side of the ball. They bring in Jesse Bates, David Onyemata, Calais Campbell. The list goes on and on with the different players and pieces they're trying to put together on that side of the ball. But I have a lot of questions. I feel like there's high expectations for a team that has question marks across the board.
Yeah, you know, they signed Bud Dupree, who was a cap casualty in Tennessee. They got to hope he can get. Lorenzo Carter has a chance to rush a little bit. I mean, Omiyada's a good three technique. He can get pressure. That's the one reason why they signed him, because he can, along with Grady Jarrett, get pressure inside. But the depth isn't there. That's the concern you have. Do they have enough depth? They draft Zach Harrison in the third round to play defensive end. I'm a little worried, but here's the thing I do know. Because of the way they play offense and the way they can control the football, if they get execution from their quarterback, this could be a defense that only plays 28, 29 minutes, which really will help them. And I think if Arthur Smith plays that complementary football, it can help them as they move forward. But, you know, they're going to have to figure that out. Algier, the running back, is good. Mm-hmm. Robinson's good. I mean, they've got – look, we didn't even talk about – Cordell Patterson might be the best runner on their team, and we didn't even mention him.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, they have a lot of weapons at their disposal. And so I think it's just a matter of if they have the quarterback that can facilitate the ball and move the ball downfield the way that he needs to, at least when it comes to the offensive side of the ball for the Atlanta Falcons. Defensively, by the way, ranked 27th overall, 23rd in scoring last season. So those are the two teams that are getting the most love. The Panthers were a team I know both you and I were very high on throughout this offseason, drafting Bryce Young, number one overall, thinking about the pieces that could come together there. But we referenced earlier on the show as well that offensive line in this preseason has been looking pretty rough, still trying to get some reps and ease Bryce Young into the situation, but it doesn't help when he's getting taken down to the turf constantly. How do you feel about the Panthers right now as their odds moved early on from 2-1 to plus 350?
Well, I'm not going to go down on him completely. I think that Frank Wright is probably under a lot of pressure. One thing we know about David Tepper, the owner of the Carolina Panthers, he's involved, right? And he's watching what we're watching. And I'm sure there's a lot of conversations within that building. We got to play better. I think that's one of the reasons why we're hearing that they're going to place their starters on Thursday or Friday night. They're going to play their guy. They got to get better up front. You know, they got to prepare for the season. They were good last year on the offensive line. They have to go back to what that run game was last year with Chuba Hubbard, Miles Sanders. They've got to utilize that. I mean, they've got tight ends on the team that can block. They truly have wise. I mean, most teams don't have tight ends that can block. Like, let's take Atlanta. You know, if they want to run the ball, they got to put Smith in the game to play tight end because they're not running behind Kyle Pitts. So whereas this team can run the ball from the tight end with whether it's Tommy Tremble, whether it's Hayden Hurts, whomever they decide to put in there. So I think they've got to get that going. Defensively, I think they'll still be a good team. They'll be healthy. And they understand last year's staff understood how to play Atlanta. They played Atlanta really well in both games. They had a chance to win the one game. Remember, DJ Moore takes his helmet off or else they win that game. And if they could have made an extra point, they win the game. Or if they could have made a field goal in overtime, they win the game. So I don't want to get too down on the Panthers yet. I'm down on Frank Wright opening day. I think that's documented. 0-4-1. His teams aren't ready. But I think he's got to be feeling the pressure because the owner of this team is involved. And he didn't hire Frank Wright to just give him 3 years. He expects to win right away. That's why he made all those trades to get Bryce Young. This team's ready to win. I mean, what don't they have? What don't they have? Right. I mean, they're good. They were good in the offensive line. Their receiving core could use a boost, but they could get solid play out of the receiving core. So, I mean, Mingo looks like a good player. Chenault's a very good player. He's in concussion protocol, but he's good with the ball after the catch. What do they lack? Right. They signed Justin Houston and give him that other pass rusher to go along with Brian Burns. I mean, this team has got good players for them to behave like they are. There's only one guy you can look at it. That's the head coach.
Yeah, and I mean, even this offseason when a lot of people were saying, hey, why don't you try to see what kind of value you can get for Brian Burns maybe? Like, no, we have invested in this guy. We believe that we can have a team that puts together a winning product these next couple of years with the new regime that we're bringing in. And David Tepper's, since he started owning the team, they haven't had the success that he expects of his organization. And so this year, they're hoping to take that first step forward with the way that they have invested in this team. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, meanwhile, not as high expectations in the near future at all, despite announcing their starting quarterback, Michael. Baker Mayfield officially QB1 in Tampa, Tom Brady's predecessor.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, it's amazing that it shows you how lack of quarterbacking there is in the league, because for Baker to continue to get starting quarterbacking jobs after the performance that he had last year, right? I mean, we all know that in 2020, he played well at 26 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. But since that time, he has not played well. He has not, you know, I mean, his last year in Cleveland, he threw 17 touchdown passes, 13 interceptions. Remember, his second season in the league, he threw 21 picks. I mean, everything that you talk about with Baker is it comes back to having a hard time seeing the receivers, having a hard time finding the guys down the field. And teams now have a read. When he started out his rookie year, when he kind of took the league by storm, he averaged 7.7 yards per attempt. Last year, he averaged 6.6. Why is that? Because people now know how to rush him. People know how to keep him in the pocket and make him play quarterback from the quarterback position. And he can't see. He's too small. It's too small. And so for the Bucs to go with him, it really tells you they don't have a quarterback. Because Baker's play the last 2 years has not been worthwhile to be a starter. It's just a fact. I mean, he's thrown 27 touchdown passes. He's thrown 21 interceptions. I mean, that's not starting quarterback quality.
Yeah, and I think since that season with the Browns when he was, you know, trying to earn the contract and playing through all of the injury stuff, he hasn't been the same. And to your point about defenses keying in on him and knowing the way to defend a smaller quarterback, things just haven't panned out for Baker Mayfield. And now it's third team in 3 seasons that he'll be an opening day starter for. We'll see if things can turn around in Tampa. I know Todd Bowles has had a lot of positive things to say about the way that Baker Mayfield has had humility and learned how to fight and come back, and that he's growing into a different, more mature player. But still, if you're going head-to-head in a true quarterback battle with Kyle Trask, like, what are my expectations really going to be of you at this point? So
exactly.
We are going to step aside here, Michael, but hour two on the horizon, and what's on Michael's mind will kick us off. I know. We're cruising on a Wednesday.